I'm curious about your current thoughts on the CALGB 9741 dose-dense trial, both in terms of the recent discussions about the impact in ER-positive versus ER-negative patients, and also in terms of what you think is going on in terms of why we saw this advantage. Do you think it's based on the Norton-Simon hypothesis or scheduling of the taxanes, et cetera?
A couple things. First of all, the issue of ER-positive, ER-negative doesn't bother me very much because I've been convinced for quite a few years that the effects of chemotherapy are much larger than we thought years ago. It was interesting because you asked a question on your questionnaire about a 77-year-old woman who's ER-negative and 3-plus nodes. Well, if you'd given me that questionnaire 10 years ago, I wouldn't have considered treating that patient with chemotherapy at all. Today, I would give that patient dose-dense therapy without thinking twice, because I think that the effects are much larger in that ER-negative patient, even though she's 77, than I had anticipated, let's say, in 1985. So this whole business of ER-negative, ER-positive, I think it applies across the board. It doesn't make a difference what chemotherapy you're talking about. I don't think it has anything to do with the taxanes. Okay, so leaving that aside, so where you're really looking at the effects of chemotherapy are in the ER-negative patients. I think the evidence, though, overall, and therefore and the general principle is well established, is that the dose-dense regimen is significantly better than the non-dose-dense regimen. Now, again, you asked the question, does that have anything to do with the taxanes? I suspect not. You know, when this paper was presented, it was presented, if you recall, at San Antonio for the first time, not at ASCO. And I hadn't read the discussant. And I pulled out the slides from the original Cooper regimen. And you remember that in the Cooper regimen, cyclophosphamide was given daily for years. And you don't get anything more dose-dense than that. In fact, giving daily cyclophosphamide at the kinds of doses that Cooper did is not very pleasant. You know, patients in the old days used to tolerate giving cycloadrea every 3 weeks. And these are the pre-Zofran days when you sometimes had to hospitalize them with intravenous fluid because they had so much nausea and vomiting. But it was over 3 or 4 days. And then they would be okay for the rest of the cycle. While with CMF, you got a little bit of nausea here and there every day. Patients didn't tolerate it as well as they tolerated the concentrated nausea vomiting every 3 weeks. And so this idea of giving cyclophosphamide every day was not very attractive, and it's why it dropped out so quickly. We've done randomized trials showing that conventional CMF where you give cyclophosphamide every day is superior to IV CMF. And yet IV CMF is very popular. In fact, that's always one of the things that's puzzled me. I think it's because the comparison, the randomized trial, comparing those two is a European trial. So I find the dose-dense 9741 study totally consistent with some of the things that have gone before, even the earliest work in the field of medical oncology. You have a tumor sitting there that has a relatively low growth fraction. And it is when the tumor cell decides that it's going to divide that is vulnerable. If you treat with cytotoxic therapies and the tumor cell doesn't try to divide and it sits there for 3 or 4 days or sits there for 3 or 4 weeks before it decides to move, it has plenty of time to repair the damage that the alkylating agent and other cytotoxics have inflicted, and therefore it doesn't die. So the proximity of the therapy to cancer cells that decide to divide is, I think, a critical factor. And that's why, personally, I believe that dose-dense has been very effective. And, in fact, I think this is an observation that some of us made several decades ago when we were trying to puzzle through why the Cooper regimen was so effective.